T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Radio.com Sports Station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We'll get right into it. The move that has shocked the sports world. Shelby Miller signs a minor league deal with the Crew.
Yeah, man, that guy, the former Cardinal, they're trying to recreate what they found in 2013 with him. You know, he was pretty good at one point with the Cardinals. And now he's a Milwaukee Brewer after the Texas wanted no part of him anymore.
You may have had the same reaction that Radio Joe Zinzola, Bill Michaels' show 10-2, had when he first saw the news. He tweeted, "Shelby Miller still in the league? Question mark. I guess I have to do some research."
Okay, I just hope hope this isn't their July pickup right here.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, minor leaguer, and they put him down in San Antonio. He was terrible at the Rangers. But, he's not exactly Noah Syndergaard. He still throws well. His numbers are terrible. 1-3 in ERA of 9 with the Rangers. So, I think you'll see the Brewers do a couple of these moves. They'll, you know, some of these guys who...
A lot of long shot moves.
Long shot moves. You'll see them do a couple of... I mean, hopefully that's not their... Again, that's not their answer to a pennant race. But, I mean, they could do a couple more of these.
Well, we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk to Tim Allen, host of our post-game show, 8 o'clock, about it's sort of like a midsummer playoffs right now, because you've got a bunch of teams that don't know if they're buying and don't know if they're selling, and these next couple of weeks with the one trade deadline at the end of the month are going to determine that. So how these teams play in the next couple of weeks is going to be very crucial to see how the season plays out.
Yeah, including the one that's at Miller Park tonight. Not the Brewers, but the San Francisco Giants, who are here. They're going to be sellers because they're trying to trade Madison Bumgarner, Will Smith, another guy. So they played some good ball before the break. They'd won some games, but they're definitely going to be sellers here in the month of July.
So, okay, we'll get more into the Brewers throughout the show. Again, Tim at 8. As far as the move that shocked sports last night, I first learned of it by seeing a J.J. Watt tweet. You know, now playing with Houston, and he said, "Wow, wow, 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 wow." And I thought, well, something either happened to the Texans, or because I know that he supports his fellow Houston teams, something's going on with the Rockets. What could it be? They got Russell Westbrook.
I thought you were talking about Marcus Morris signing with the Knicks.
Oh, 1-year deal, 15
yes.
mil?
Yeah. That's what I thought you were going after.
All right, let's break that down. So Marcus Morris was going to go to the Thunder, bails on them, goes to the Knicks. The Thunder and the Rockets have made a trade, and they are sending Russell Westbrook to the Rockets. In return, to make the salaries work, it's Chris Paul coming back to Oklahoma City, where he started his career because of the Hornets at the time, New Orleans and Katrina, and playing in Oklahoma City. Now, whether he stays there or not, we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks. But this is Oklahoma City taking on another deal, another contract, actually getting out from the final year. These guys, Paul and Westbrook, have similar contracts. It's just that Russ's goes one more year, and so Oklahoma's getting out of that contract at the end, the fourth year. And then they're getting more first-round picks, which they got a bunch from Paul George. So Oklahoma City, just a couple of weeks ago, looked like they were going to contend for a playoff spot, maybe pick up a couple pieces, see what happens. Since Kawhi swept in and stole Paul George from them, they've now accumulated nearly a dozen first-round picks.
Yeah, I think OKC did the best they could do with the situation.
Oh, yeah.
They did the best that they could with this entire situation. Of course, you'd rather have all those players back. But if they're not going to play for you and the disaster is going to happen where your veteran, one veteran after another, is leaving, okay. I mean, they've accumulated a ton of draft picks right now. They got eight first-round picks since the NBA draft. Man, that's a lot. Eight. Now they're not going to use all eight to draft those players. They're going to, you know, use some of those in trades. And they could, here's the deal, they could also be trading Chris Paul and getting more draft picks. My first reaction of this was when, you know, Russ going to Houston, it was like, at least he's not going to the Eastern Conference. That's my initial reaction was, he's not going to Miami, good thing, or he's not going anywhere else in the Eastern Conference. Keep them out west. So the Bucks continue to be, right now, unquestionably, the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Russ stays out west.
Man, that west is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, Chris Paul, now he could get dealt to Miami or somebody else.
So do we have to do that today?
You want Chris Paul? What is he, 34?
Chris Paul to Milwaukee, yeah. 414-799.
Well, he's got 3 years. He's got 3 years left on his contract. $124 million. I don't even know if that even fit in. Who knows? Don't know. Is he a good teammate? I don't know. Him and Harden, they didn't really get along. It'll be interesting to see how Russ and Harden. All the Harden wanted Russ there in Houston. But, man, not often where you see superstars like that reunite it once again.
They've wanted to reunite for a long time. They are buddies. They go all the way back to, they started playing in the same Boys and Girls Club in Los Angeles when they were, like, teens.
But I thought Paul and Harden were supposed to be buddies, and then they got together, and they weren't.
Well, they're in those State Farm ads. You got to yank those off.
Yeah, right? They're done. Yeah.
You got to yank that off.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of, you know, discussion and rumblings that maybe those two weren't getting along. And we heard some different anecdotes, like how if James Harden was at one end of the court shooting, Chris Paul would take a rookie and go to that end of the court and play one-on-one and disrupt his teammate, James Harden. And obviously the Rockets have had a tough 5-6 years where they constantly run into the same team in Golden State and could never get over that hump no matter what they tried to do, Chris Paul being one of those things that they tried to do. And Daryl Morey, the GM of Houston, he was just on Rich Eisen's show within the last week saying there's a 100% chance Chris Paul's a Rocket in the fall.
I saw that quote. How odd. Yeah. Again, never believe these guys.
Never.
Never believe these guys, what they say, no matter what team you're talking about.
So Chris Paul is not a Rocket. He will be with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and now you've got Russell Westbrook and James Harden teaming up. And, yeah, you can look at the long-term stuff, but for the immediate future, there's a lot of people last night that tweeted two words, this league, in a pure disbelief about just how crazy the NBA is. This has been the wildest 11 days of free agency ever. You've had so many players move. If you look at the All-Star game from just 2 years ago, a bunch of those guys are on different teams. There's been so much player movement in this period of free agency, and what it has done is sort of leveled the playing field. Now, there's still the haves and the have-nots, but there's no dominant team. We can't right now say, well, the finals are going to be the Warriors verse, like we've been able to do for the last 5 years. There's some people that think the Warriors won't even make the playoffs at this point. The West is that loaded, and the Warriors still dealing with some injuries. But you have so many teams in the NBA that have a good duo, have maybe a third guy, and can really lay claim. Now, I think the Lakers could be good. Their roster looks very good on paper. The Clippers, obviously, with Kawhi. The Jazz and the Nuggets, I think, get forgotten about. The Rockets with this pairing will be very interesting. A lot of jokes about these guys not being able to share the ball, and we'll find out, but they get along, so I'm sure that we can see something good come out of it. But there's a lot of excitement for this NBA season. It is a tale of two conferences, though. You look out west, the load management stuff, yeah, you can like rest these stars, but there's 12, maybe 11, 12 teams that have a shot at the, like a realistic shot at the playoffs. So James Harden can't sit 15 nights of the year. You need those guys to play. in the East, Giannis better be sitting at least 15 nights out of the year because they're shooing for the playoffs. They're shooing for a top four seed, and they're probably going to be the one seed, two at the worst.
That's not good, and we're talking about already load management. And then that just tells me again, the season's too long if we're talking about load management.
In the East, where there's nobody to contend.
Well, then it's Milwaukee versus who out of the East versus question mark.
Right, but in the West, you can't be thinking about resting, guys, because it's going to be a battle for the playoffs the entire season. In the East, for a team like the Bucks, the one or two or three good teams, I mean, they're just going to be snoring. They're already snoring into April.
Although...
this is a tale of two conferences, big time.
Although they're just playing, they're playing for home court advantage throughout the NBA regular season anyway. And we wanted so much the...
Right, which the Bucks proved to be so important last year when they lost Game 7 at home.
Game 5.
Game 5 at home.
Wish they could have got to a Game 7.
I was thinking of the other team that lost the Game 7 at home. That was the Brewers.
Yes. Wish they could have got to a Game 7 on Memorial Day night. We would have been down there celebrating in the Deer District. But that never happened. It was the Deer District was quiet that night. But Golden State, too, they had home court advantage against Toronto. Did Toronto get that? I'm trying to think. You're right. First two games were in Toronto. Sometimes the home court advantage doesn't mean it doesn't, depending on injuries and all that. But, you got to thank the commissioner. Yeah, you never heard that expression before?
Not since I watched Andy Griffith one time. Oh, okay.
Well, what do you want me to say? Nobody gives a damn?
Yeah,
I said that so I wouldn't say the other swear word, four-letter word. Adam Silver's got to hate this because he talked just like last week about, all this player movement forcing trades. He wants to see some stability with these players on a team. He isn't like these guys moving all around and such. He wants to see these guys stick with teams, and he doesn't want the super teams. He wants Westbrook to stay at Oklahoma City and Paul George to stay at Oklahoma City. He doesn't want all this recruiting done. I don't know what he can do about it, but he can't be happy about this.
Well, there's pros and cons to it. The con would be that these small markets are like feeder teams for the big markets.
That's exactly it.
If that's the places where these guys are going to team up. Like Oklahoma City, again, a couple weeks ago, you were going into the season with Paul George, third place MVP guy, Russell Westbrook, former MVP himself. And you're thinking, okay, we're not going to be a top two seed, but we'll get to the playoffs and add a piece and see what happens. That didn't happen anymore. It'd be like if two weeks ago somebody came in and swept Giannis away from the Bucks, and then in the next week they say, let's just trade Chris Middleton. And then all of a sudden, you've got a team that you're not excited for, and they got 8 first-round picks over the next 8 years. It happened that sudden.
Speaking of Middleton, the deal was official yesterday. 5 years, $178 million. The Bucks put the pen to paper with Chris, so no getting out of that one.
A lot of fanfare for that one, too, yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they have a little signing party down at the Deer District?
I think they had a protest.
That's what probably would happen. How is this happening?
What would the difference be in turnout for a Giannis MVP party versus a Chris Middleton?
That's a good
5-year deal party.
Yeah. Like you said, it turned into a protest. There'd be fans probably, what's going on? Wearing t-shirts, putting up posters. Picketing the place, I guess.
The other thing, though, there's the tampering and guys leaving small markets, but the excitement for the NBA regular season is going to be as hyped as it has been for a long time.
I could just see at the Pfizer Forum or at the party this coming up Sunday for Giannis, from 2 to 5. And ladies and gentlemen, here's Giannis with his MVP, and the crowd's going crazy. He's holding up the trophy, and Giannis gives a little speech. He goes, now I want to introduce a man who's coming back 5 years, $178 million, my good friend, Chris Middleton. Dead silence. What do you have to say, Chris?
Can we never mention the contract when we talk about Chris?
Just
I don't want the next 5 years to be, did he live up to the contract tonight?
Yeah, if he scores 6 points in an exhibition game in lacrosse, people will be talking about it.
Has Chris Middleton lived up to his contract? He's averaging 19 points a game, and the Bucks are the ones.
Well, it's
the
Packers usually take precedent in November and December and the early part of the season, so if Chris gets off to a slow start. But nonetheless, back to this move. Yeah, you're right. It was a surprising move. It was a Woj bomb last night. I was eating a Euro salad as opposed to the rotisserie chicken I had the night before. And also the news, my phone was just blasting off with this move, man. It was, came from nowhere on a late Thursday night.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk more about this move coming up. You can't just slide in
my rotisserie.
Yeah, without proper context to those that weren't listening in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday. So for that reason, we bring you this. We're back in just a couple minutes. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
This is Chuck and Winkler.
You know what I did my night? I went over to Golf Galaxy after eating a rotisserie chicken at Sendix.
Like a full chicken?
I ate a full chicken. You know, I'm trying to eat healthy.
I don't think eating a full of anything is healthy.
Well, I mean, if you eat chicken, but I was sitting there eating there while people are checking out in line. You are looking at me. I'm sitting there down again. I'm making a mess with this chicken. There's a little area you can eat, or you can eat.
You can eat like meals, not
you
entire
can eat meals.
Birds.
Yeah. No, you can eat. And then after I got done with all the bones and all that, there was no garbage can to throw it away. I was like, what am I going to do with this thing?
So, because sometimes what like we will do is we'll buy rotisserie chickens,
yeah,
and then we will like prepare it with other meals.
You're telling me
you bought a rotisserie chicken like it's a chicken sandwich in a drive-thru? And you just scarfed the meat off the bone?
Yes. No mashed potatoes. I just ate one big rotisserie chicken.
I couldn't make you up if I tried.
Chuck and Winkler, weekday morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Well, we'll play that again.
No way I'm in a tree, Chris Paul.
Listen to how thrilled.
Unless I can get Russell Westbrook.
Daryl Morey is the GM of the Houston Rockets, was with Rich Eisen. Again, he's just like, you couldn't be less thrilled.
Chris Paul's going to be a Rocket next season. Do you?
Yes.
Is that a 100%?
Yeah, it's 100%, yeah.
Well, you can say that with that certainty right now.
I can, yeah.
Jeez.
Doesn't sound like they... Well, it kind of sounds like they just got him out of bed. What time is the show on?
Rich is in the afternoon.
Okay, wow. Maybe it was an all-nighter or something.
Rich is a midday guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't sound too thrilled.
Daryl Morey bringing the enthusiasm that half the sports broadcasters bring in this town when they're on the air.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, read between the lines.
Oh, wow.
Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan from the Bryant and Stratton College.
Not us, though.
Not
hey,
here.
Hey, man, we get full energy in the morning.
Yeah, we're up at 6. We're raring to go. Pop a couple Blue Chews, take a 5-hour energy, and hit the road running.
I got my energy shot. I'm trying this new one today. Dollar holler. Dollar for a shot. I figure, why pay $2.75 for a shot when I can get this one for a buck?
Is it a knockoff 5-hour?
I think so.
What's it called?
Hopefully I don't have something growing out of my neck afterwards. It's called Extra.
And it's not 5-hour?
No, it kind of looks like it. You know,
oh,
one of those
no.
knockoff ones. You know, the one that you get like at a dollar store? I was like, I'm going to try these. So I did that.
You know, when
tastes the same.
When your budget starts tightening up a little bit, you still want to enjoy the same stuff, but you go like name brand.
Sure.
Or you go off name brand. But there's certain things you hold out on until it really gets bad. So if you ever see me coming in here with not a Mountain Dew, but a Mountain Thunder, then you know the finances are getting really tight in the Winkler home.
Okay, that's the new, that's the offshoot brand?
There's Mountain Thunder at, I think, Aldi's.
All right.
But now that I see Chuck Freeman with a knockoff 5-hour energy, now I'm a little worried.
Yeah, there's a few of these out there.
That should be the last thing you change.
You know, you and I ran into each other at a fast food place yesterday.
Yeah.
You came in. I was doing some work there. I mean, because I can go over there and like, use the internet and have something to eat and get some stuff done. Because it's like too crowded around here.
It's Taco Bell.
It was Taco Bell. And then you scared the crap out of me. Walked up right behind me. I'm putting together the Packers schedule for our coverage here. And what are you doing here? And I'm like, and then you left. Then you went through the drive-thru window.
Well, yeah, I was going to stay and eat with you, but I had to go somewhere.
Oh, where'd you have to go?
I went to do another podcast. Just cranking out these podcasts.
You had to to home or back here?
No, I went to Name That Car to shop off Blue Mound.
Oh, you did somebody. Okay, you did somebody else's podcast. Okay.
No, I recorded him for my podcast.
Oh, you recorded him for, okay.
Yeah, Rick.
Okay.
Who was helping me sell some cards.
Okay.
So, yeah, I pulled into Taco Bell because I was going to go through the drive-thru, and then I saw Chuck's car, and so I thought I would come in and say hi.
You did? And then you left, and then I saw your text after the fact, after you left, and you said, let me know when... All right, look at me when I go through the drive-thru because I spent $10. But you had already gone through. So what happened? Did you make a gesture to me?
Yeah, I stopped in the drive-thru and like stared in the window at for a good minute waiting for you to look.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see the text until after you'd gone.
Oh, that's a shame.
After you drove out.
Well, there's the answer to your question. Do these guys hang out after the show? Yes, if Chuck is at a restaurant where I'm going to go through the drive-thru, I will come in, say hi, and then still go through the drive-thru. So that's the answer to your question.
There would have been a time you might have dumped the Diet Mountain Dew on me at that time.
Possibly.
But you went in, and the guy who works there, who annoys the crap out of you, and me, I just take it with a grain of salt, but I know he really bothers you. He had left, and that's the first thing you asked me, the guy behind the counter. And there's all places you go to where, you know, if you're a regular, you just hope you don't have that person as a waiter or waitress. We go to this place and... it's kind of an Italian place, and it's like, I just hope this waitress isn't waiting on us, because she's just annoying, just absolutely annoying. And we went there last night, and we didn't get her, thank God, goodness. But the guy who you didn't want to get had just taken off like 3 minutes before you got there.
Oh, thank God.
He had just taken off, because you asked about him. And I said, no, he's gone. Oh, thank goodness. And then you went through the drive-thru very quickly, too.
Oh, yeah. I got $10 of food and
yeah,
went on my way. Big trade in the NBA last night. Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Rockets, which that alone, to not see him in a Thunder jersey, is going to be very weird. Even seeing some of the mock-ups where he's wearing a Rockets jersey is odd. He's reunited with James Harden. They played together, obviously, on the Thunder. I kind of wish that they would have won a title. You know, you've got these duos or trios that have gone through sports. Or even players. Like, it's a shame Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. I think it's a shame that Karl Malone and John Stockton didn't win a finals. And I always look back at the Thunder with... They had Durant, Westbrook, and Harden on one team.
Yeah.
And they got to one finals.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then Kevin Durant obviously left. James Harden got traded before that for a bag of peanuts. And now none of them are there.
Yeah. Harden really started becoming the beard, though, in Houston.
The
great, this really becoming even more of a ball hog.
Right, Harden wasn't up for MVPs in Oklahoma City, but to think what could have been if you kept those three together.
But you look at it, Russ won the MVP 2 seasons ago, and then Harden a year ago before Giannis. So you got two of the MVPs, recent MVPs, back together again. With the Rockets, and yeah, like you said, the West is going to be just as it always is. And I hope this doesn't get back to Adam Silver, the commissioner, saying, "Oh, we got to put all these teams into one conference for the playoffs."
Yep.
You know what? The 1-16 deal. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to break up East West.
No,
this is just how it goes.
But this is going to bring up that argument. I'm sure it is. All the good teams are in the West. Let's somehow prevent the Bucks from getting to the Eastern Conference by putting everybody in one league.
Well, which teams in the East would compete in the West? Like, which teams in the East would make the Western Conference playoffs? Where would the Bucks finish? If they were in the West?
Yeah.
Where would the Bucks finish? They wouldn't be one.
No, they'd be in the top four, I would think. Still think they'd be in the top four. They would have been in the top four this year.
Yeah.
They would have been, they were the overall number one seed in the entire league, but they would have been playing more of those Western Conference teams during the regular season, so they might have not have been the number one seed. But, I think they'd be top four. I think they'd be a top four team in the Western Conference. Last year's team, this past year. Now, this year's team, who knows? But last year's team, this recent team, I think they would have been.
You look at the Lakers and the Clippers. Let's put them 1-2 for the sake of it.
This
coming up.
Yeah.
Coming up. let's put Lakers and the Clippers 1-2.
Yeah.
Are the Bucks better than either of them?
Just seems weird to say the Lakers and the Clippers are going to be the two best teams in the Western Conference.
Dude, but the Lakers, they, I think, assembled a pretty decent, like, I think they filled out the roster pretty decently.
All these one-year deals, like the Rondos and, you know, the DeMarcus Cousins, they got him. Yeah. Yeah, they got some. Reminds me like when the Lakers were signing guys at the end of their bench, like, well, they were signing Karl Malone.
The Malone and Payton team?
Yeah. That's what it kind of reminds me of. Just a cast of people to go with Shaq and Kobe.
Then you've got, I think when we're going to talk about the West, I think everybody is going to continue to sleep on the Nuggets and the Jazz because they're in that time zone nobody ever thinks of, in the Mountain time zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Nuggets and the Jazz are two very good teams.
Yeah.
Both won 50 games last year plus.
Especially the Jazz improved themselves.
Are the Bucks better than those two over the course of a season?
I mean, I like to think so. I mean, if the Bucks would have played Denver in the NBA Finals. The
Bucks beat Denver twice.
I think the Bucks would have been the overwhelming favorite.
Right, and they beat them twice in the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, including once. I think one was right on Christmas time. I think the Bucks might have been resting somebody in that game, too. But the Bucks ended up winning. I think it was a Sunday night game. Was on right during like Sunday night football. That game was on. But yeah, I think the Bucks are better than, I like to think they're better than both of those teams, but who knows?
Where do you put the Rockets?
Oh.
Was that yesterday or two days ago?
I like their big two ahead of our big two.
I asked you the other day, before this trade went down, I said, I'll give you the Lakers and Clippers. Give me a third team if your life depended on it to win the finals.
In the West, I'd still say Houston.
You said Houston over the Bucks.
Yeah, and I still say Houston. Well, did you mean the West or the overall?
Overall.
Oh, I still say I'd say Houston right now. With Russ and Harden, man, that's good. Man, I mean, if they can work together, I mean that's pretty good. They kept all these other pieces they wanted to keep. All they got rid of was Chris Paul. So they upgraded at the point guard spot. They gave away two first round picks. You know, they swapped those two other picks. I think both teams made it out well in this deal.
Pretty wild stuff. Russell Westbrook is now a Houston Rocket. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to be out at John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield, just north of Beloit Road. They have been partnering with the American Liver Foundation, and they're going to try to raise funds to create awareness and fight liver disease. So there's a whole thing going on tomorrow from 11 to 3. I'll be there out at 11 o'clock. Again, John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Food and prizes, and you can win like sports memorabilia from your favorite teams. You can win tickets. There's raffle prizes, hourly giveaways. All food and beverages are available at no cost. So you can give a donation, that sort of thing, but you can come and just enjoy a nice snack and maybe some lunch and try to win a prize while you're there. It's John Paul's Buick GMC, again, raising money and awareness for the American Liver Foundation. I'll be there starting at 11. The event goes until 3 o'clock. Coming up, we're talking a little NBA playoffs and baseball playoffs. Playoffs start tonight for the Brewers. The playoffs start tonight. We'll go into that. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. 7:30 or so, we're going to do a draft of a season ticket package of the Milwaukee Bucks. And the goal is to try to see which teams we find the most excitable. Now that we think most of the moves have been accomplished, unless Chris Paul gets dealt to who cares.
Okay, how's this going to go? I mean, explain this a little bit. I'm a little confused about it.
So we did this last year. It was Rami Makhlouf was a part of the draft.
Mac the Knife
was filling in.
Okay.
And Cody Grant, our former producer, and me.
Mm-hmm.
So if the odds ring true, we'll do the draft again. And then next year, two of the three of us will not be here.
Oh, geez, no. that's the jinx.
Yeah, so okay. We'll do the draft. Ryan Horvath will make his triumphant return to the airwaves today.
Horvath's back.
New producer.
He was in Disney for as long as you could stay at Disney.
He's as red as a tomato.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that went great, and we'll hear from him.
He has enough family time in 1 week than the last of the rest of the year.
You will be there, and then I will be there. So what we'll do is we have to decide who has the first pick, but then we'll go 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, and we'll draft like if we had a ticket package, what teams we would want to go to. The assumption is we're all in a ticket package with one other friend, and he goes to every game, and then the three of us are splitting that other seat. So we get to pick which games we want to go to, but we have to draft it out because we're not going to every game, but we got to draft it out. And the Western Conference teams you can pick once because they're only here once, and if you want to see an Eastern Conference team, you can pick them twice.
Sounds good.
Here twice.
7:30.
So we'll do that at 7:30, and it should be interesting, I think, for sure, to see who would be the teams that we, you know, want to see the most, and then when an Eastern Conference team actually pops up, because if you're going to go to a Bucks game this year, and I know a lot of you are, you're going to want to see some of these Western Conference teams. So we'll do that, and then we'll talk to Tim Allen at 8 o'clock. He'll make his triumphant return to the airwaves today. I texted him yesterday. I said, are you still on your All-Star Week bender, or can you join us? Typically, Tim takes a radio silence during the All-Star break, so we're going to bring him back on the air. Tim Allen, host of our baseball postgame show at 8 o'clock.
Feels like it's been weeks since the Brewers have played. And, you know, they're not playing very well. They've lost 15 of the last 23 as they start the second half again. And, you know, they got the Braves coming to town next week for the first time and the only time. You know, we see the Pirates every other weekend, but the Braves making their first trip, and, you know, the Braves one of the better teams in the National League, so that'd be cool.
Hey, did you watch any of the game last night?
No.
Rangers, Astros?
No, I remember you telling me yesterday you were going to bear down and watch the whole thing.
I watched a good amount of it.
Well, because you had some cash on the line, didn't you?
No, I just threw $5 into a FanDuel. So nothing. It didn't hurt anybody.
No. TV didn't even go on.
I took all Astros and then the Rangers.
Yeah.
1-5-0.
TV never went on in our house last night. I was watching a little golf in the afternoon, you know, spinning around, watching all those different TV shows on ESPN and Fox. And then in late afternoon, that was it. That was the extent of my TV watching.
Last year, when the break ended, the Cardinals and Cubs on that Thursday night had to make up a game, and that was really the only spot they could do it. And it was the one game back from the All-Star break, and it got the national attention because it was the only game being played. And I told you then, I think they need to do this every year. And so they did it this year, another get-back-from-the-break game, Rangers-Astros. I don't know how sexy of a matchup that is, but I watched it.
Well, I'll tell you. Baseball has got a ratings issue, man. The All-Star game the other night, worst ratings in baseball history.
I heard you say that. I don't know if that's entirely true.
If nobody's watching the that's
yeah, but it's always there. No,
what are you talking about? It is true.
Yeah, ratings. So the rating might be lower, but that doesn't mean that the least amount of people ever watched an All-Star game.
Well, per capita. Of course, more people got TVs today and more ways to watch it, but it drew a 5. So that tells that's the lowest rating ever of an All-Star game.
It drew a 6.2.
Tuesday's All-Star game received a television rating of 5.0, the lowest in the event's history.
Who's that from?
I'm reading it right here.
From who? They're wrong.
Metro. No, okay. And it says the lowest, an average of 8.14 million viewers watched the American League's 4-3 win over the National League. The previous low for the Midsummer Classic came last year when their game received a 5-2 last year. So you're saying, where are you wrong?
The All-Star game drew a 6-2.
One did increase from a year ago. The Home Run Derby drew a 6-2.
No, the Home Run Derby drew a 4-5.
Ratings for Monday's Home Run Derby did increase from a year ago as the showcase drew a 4.5 rating and an average of 6.2 million viewers. So I'm just going what I'm reading right here off the
I'm just here to tell you that's wrong.
Okay. Well,
whatever you're looking at is wrong.
Where do you get yours from?
Here, let me tell you this, Chuck. Here's the problem when you say this All-Star game was the lowest rated of all time. Then what people are driving around and hearing is baseball's dying.
Well, nationally it is.
Okay.
Nationally it is. Locally it's not. And as I was telling you a couple of days ago, you know, of course Miller Park's going to be full this weekend. Locally, people are going to games. It's just like people aren't watching the national coverage. They're just not getting into it. They're not getting in. I mean, what we got to figure out, Shelby Miller, what team is he on? You said the other day or earlier today that people, Shelby Miller, is he retired? I mean, we don't even know where these guys are, and that's because of where baseball is right now.
Right.
You don't know where these guys are.
But you know what the MLB All-Star Game did outdraw? The NFL Pro Bowl and the NBA All-Star Game.
In the summer, too. Yeah, but their ratings weren't very good either.
The MLB was the highest rated All-Star game.
Yeah, but that's that's not saying much because the other ratings weren't very good either.
Well, it's all subjective. It's all subjective. I'm just sticking up for baseball.
I'm just telling you the facts here, Bart. And what I'm reading here, it says the previous low at the All-Star game was last year when there was a 5-2. This year was a 5-0. I want to see baseball, my favorite sport. And of course I want to see it succeed. I wish it had the national flavor as the NFL or the NBA. Like, Major League Baseball free agency doesn't have the flair that the NFL free agency has or the NBA. It should. At one time it did. It doesn't anymore.
Well, like last night, I mean, I get what you're saying to that point, because last night baseball came back from the All-Star break where everybody's itching. Everybody in these local markets, we're itching for Brewers. I mean, we are itching for Brewers. Think of the things that you guys did this week. What did you guys do this week? Chuck ate a whole chicken at Ascendix.
Went and tried out some wedges and golfed a 41.
I went to bed at 7:30 the other night. Okay. Yeah. Last night I watched 2 episodes of Big Brother and Southern Charm.
Watched an episode of Oz earlier in the week.
Ashley's back too. I don't know why she got invited to that party, Chuck, but geez.
Yeah.
It was good to see Craig and Naomi talk again after a year off.
I was watching a prison show. That was the extent of my TV watching this week, other than the All-Star game.
Shep's kind of taking a heel turn, though, this season.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Southern Charm.
Wasn't Shep on the Three Stooges?
I'm thinking of Shep Rose from Southern Charm.
Maybe I'm thinking of Shemp. Okay.
So, you have baseball come back last night, and what I would like to see baseball do is, it's a 162-game season, but find ways within that season to make games feel like they mean more. And last night should have been one of those games, and I think when it was Cubs-Cardinals a year ago, we got into it, or we at least were aware of it because it was in our division. Last night, maybe you didn't even know that the Rangers and Astros played an actual game, because who cares?
Where was the game?
American League.
Who broadcasted the game last night?
It was on ESPN with the Sunday night crew.
Okay.
It was your girl, Jess, and A-Rod, and Maddie V.
Okay. But that crew just doesn't have the chemistry.
They were talking about the Jonathan Lucroy play the other night where he got tackled playing catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jessica Mendoza was looking at a highlight when she was in the Olympics in 2004. And she took out one of the catchers from Greece.
Yeah.
And she's like, I was getting death threats. No, you weren't.
I didn't know about that until you just told me about it.
Yeah. Jessica Mendoza's not getting death threats for a softball game in Greece.
Unless it was the family of the girl she bowled over.
Yeah. Death threats. Pass.
Greece has got a softball team?
Oh, sure.
Didn't know that.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
So the playoffs, essentially, one thing that they were talking about was with this trade deadline being moved up to the 31st, this is essentially the playoffs right now. There is a midsummer playoff because these teams over the next few weeks are going to decide if they're buyers and sellers. It's like a postseason to determine who's in it and who's not. And if the Brewers or Cubs or Pirates or Reds or Cardinals, any of these teams come out struggling, you're going to look at the division and you're going to say, all right, well, we're probably going to sell and try to build up our farm system. Or if you go on a run, you become buyers. One thing that I've heard from a lot of people, I think you've said it. I was listening to some of Bill's show yesterday where they had guests on from all over the Central. Everybody says the thing, one of these teams in the Central is going to go on a run. Dude, I don't know if that's true even.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to predict.
I mean, the chances are good because there's 5 teams, but none of them have gone on a run yet. So what's the difference now?
No, last year, Well, teams, I mean, I think the Brewers are 12 games over the 500 mark at this point of the season. They're three over and a half game back. A year ago, they were two and a half back. But the Cincinnati Reds, I mean, they're in last place. They're four and a half games out. Yeah, I think it's like, are they sellers? Are they buyers at this point? Because they have some expiring contracts on that team. You know, they got a lot of guys. They kind of went for it this year by picking up some of those guys who are in the final year of their deals. And, you know, they have, you know, should they trade some of these guys and look to the future like the Reds have always had to do? Or do they hang in there in a crazy NL Central where it looks like to be wide open?
We talk about how the NL Central is compact. You've got the five teams within four and a half games of each other coming into play tonight. And in any other division, the closest race is five or five and a half. So between first and second. So in the NL Central, these five teams are tighter. The five teams are tighter than any one, two in any other division.
Well,
so you're going to see a lot of teams in the Central try to figure things out. Chuck, you've also got the wild card situation where you've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight teams all fighting for the wild card now within two and a half games of each other.
Well,
so these teams, some of these teams are going to be matched up against each other. We'll take a look at that. It's going to be, I think, an exciting couple of weeks to figure who's in and who's not.
This division race, this five-team race in the National League Central, this is the tightest it's been in the All-Star break in any division in baseball history since they've gone to the six-division format, the three in each league. It's the tightest it's been top to bottom in, you know, the last, what, 23, 24 years, whenever the hell it was, when they went to the six divisions. So when you got four and a half games separating the first and the last place team, that's both good and bad for baseball.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Do want to talk more about these teams in the Central. We'll take a look at who they've got sort of in their playoff journey. And why we're saying that is because July 31st is the trade deadline. There is no August trade deadline. Teams are going to have to figure out in the next 3 weeks if they are going to buy or if they are going to sell. Because after the 31st, I mean, the improvements you can make to your team are going to be very minimal. It's going to have to be like Shelby Miller pickups or whoever picks up Tyler Thornburg, who got waived by the Red Sox, which means the Brewers pretty much won that trade. Even if Travis Shaw never comes back, which he will, but even if he doesn't, they've won that trade, the Brewers have, and now Mauricio Dubon's part of that trade, and he at least played Sunday. We'll see if he's still with the club this weekend. Brewers yet to announce anything on that front, but that trade looks very bad for the Red Sox. And poor Tyler Thornburg, and now I've seen a lot of people maybe say, kick the tires on him, bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, since he is a former Brewer, but I think this was in the answers, getting Shelby Miller, a starting pitcher, into their organization to see if they could reform him a little bit. You know, that non-trading, that waiver deadline of August 31st, I'm glad they got rid of that because, I mean, it just was just so confusing. I mean, why have two trading deadlines? Have one trading deadline like they're doing right now, July 31st. But, you know, right now, again, like you said, there's a lot of teams who are, will have to question further, okay, are we in the race or are we not on the race? Should we make a move here or should we not? Trading deadline used to be mid-June. Imagine that, if the trading deadline is mid-June.
Mid-June?
Yeah, mid-June.
How do you know anything?
June 15th, the trading deadline used to be.
Did the season end in August?
No. For some teams, it ended in June 15th.
How can you even make that determination?
Teams would be, June 15th used to be the trading deadline. And then they moved it to, and I think it was June 15th, and then July 31st was the non-waiver move. Or the waiver move. But, June 15th used to be the trading deadline. If team had to come up with a deal by June 15th.
Well, let's take a look at the NL Central and who these teams have in front of them. The Brewers are trying to figure out how they're going to attack the post-All-Star break. The way they're sending out their pitchers leaves some questions. More questions, I think, than answers. We'll talk about that. It's Chuck and Winkler. That's Freames. I'm Bart. More from you guys. Chime in at any time. Tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan. Facebook as well. 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.